This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, 10 ACC teams are going to postseason. Pretty good haul for the league, right?
Can we win one this year? I say yes. I say yes. I'm going over.
Let's look forward, shall we?
I just said I'm going over.
Okay.
We'll do it. No offers this year, West Durham.
No. No offers. We've got 10, including our Subway Top 5 that we'll get to here. 21st consecutive season, the ACC's earned at least 6. They have 91 postseason appearances since 2013. That's second amongst all conferences. Let's start a couple days after Christmas. Boston College and East Carolina going to meet in Annapolis at Navy Marine Corps Stadium as the Military Bowl is presented by Peraton. Phil Jakovic and the Eagles against Mike Houston's Pirates.
Pirates have had a good year.
Yeah.
Their fan base is excited. I think BC is excited, too, about the future.
Yep.
So that's kind of an interesting matchup, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of good seats still available, what I hear.
December 28th, ServPro First Responder Bowl. Troy Calhoun and the Air Force meets Louisville with Malik Cunningham, who announced over the weekend he's coming back for the 2022 campaign pack.
Well, you know the Air Force folks are going to be tough. I mean, 60 minutes, they're not going to quit. They may not throw a forward pass. I kind of like Louisville in this game, to be honest with you.
I think it'll be an interesting showcase for the Cards. Same day, different locale. The ACC begins its affiliation with the San Diego Credit Union Holiday Bowl. At Petco Park is where they're playing this, the home of the Padres.
Who?
Petco Park is where they're playing the football game.
No, what was the team?
The Padres.
Oh, yeah, those guys. Yeah. How far back did they finish this year?
About 64 games, right in 64. Front of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, not very good.
UCLA and NC State. I think that's – I think I like this game, too.
I do, too. I like it a lot. In fact, I watched yesterday when I was doing some work, the actual announcement of the two teams.
Sure.
In beautiful San Diego. And for NC State fans, if you've never been to the Gas Lamp District or to anywhere there, Old Town, La Jolla, that would be a nice holiday trip. No pun intended. That will be great weather, super nice people, awesome food, and I think that'll be a really competitive football game.
Yeah. Ball game set for the 29th of December. SMU and Virginia, Bronco Mendenhall's final bow as the Cavaliers head coach will occur at Fenway Park in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
Just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? Plenty of good seats. By the way, when you get your tickets for that game, be sure you're not sitting with a pole between your legs. It can happen to you at Fenway. Wes, you know you're a Red Sox fan.
I am. Yes.
Is Rhett Lashley coaching in that game? Do we know
status there? I don't know that.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it, given the fact that Lashley's the new man leaving Miami to go to SMU?
Yeah.
Bronco stepping down at Virginia?
Yeah. Wasabi, by the way, is a technologies company.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that game, assuming, again, who knows who's going to play? I mean, you never know in these bowl games.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That game has a chance. Assuming really the weather is not horrific, to be high scoring and wide open.
Because I'm going to tell you something, SMU
can score,
slings it,
and Virginia,
and we
does
know
score.
Virginia does.
Yeah.
All right. Also on the 29th, get the old ACC abacus out, kids.
Well, Virginia Tech,
Maryland, and Virginia Tech.
The Hokies have already broken Maryland once last week with Mark Turgeon stepping down after a loss to Virginia Tech in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Yeah.
And now the Terps, again, I guess they won their last game against Rutgers to become bowl eligible. So tag, you're it.
Yeah.
Maryland, Virginia Tech.
That's the new era pinstripe bowl at Yankee Stadium. Let's go also on the 29th. I like the Cheez-It game. Number 19, Clemson against Iowa State and Breece Hall.
Whatever I just said about SMU and Virginia, this is the exact opposite because both of these teams can flat out tackle and they will hit you. Don't know how many points are going to be scored. Of course, with Clemson, who knows, right?
Yep.
Venables is gone. Maybe Tony Elliott is gone. Who knows? Clemson, Iowa State, Matt Campbell, one of the ironically stayed put with the Cyclones. So that is a Mark Packer versus Dave Archer showdown.
That's exactly what that is. The fighting Dave Archers, no question. All right, December 30th, right down the street here, Uptown Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. Sam Howell's career at Carolina started with a win against South Carolina in Charlotte. More than likely, his college career ends in Charlotte with North Carolina, South Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Maybe the Gamecocks can score against an ACC team maybe this time.
Yeah, well, give maybe. It a whirl, right?
Maybe not.
Let's same day, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in Atlanta. Number 12, Pittsburgh. Number 10, Michigan State pack.
Like it. Like everything about that game. I said leading off the show today after my long, tedious story regarding losing my wallet.
Yeah.
I really, really like Kenny Pickett against Michigan State secondary.
There you go. We touched on the Gator Bowl. New Year's Eve in Jacksonville at TIAA Bank Field.
Raleigh Skinner Invitation.
Yeah. Number 17, Wake Forest. Number 25, Texas A&M. Like that game?
I do. Yeah. You know, again, Mike Elko, Dave Clawson, there's an interesting tie-in with that.
Absolutely.
These two, like I said, had played earlier, a couple years ago, right here in Charlotte. Deeks beat Texas A&M. They'll try to make it two in a row against the Aggies.
All right. Also on New Year's Eve, it's Washington State and Miami in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
And given what we talked about with Miami, I don't know what to tell you. Manny Diaz is the coach right now. Mario Cristobal could be the coach this afternoon, which I assume they would have to tell Manny it's over. I mean, I don't know what Miami's doing, but I hope they get whatever it is. I hope it works out for everybody. And then you got Washington State with their situation.
Dickert's the brand new coach.
Right.
Who was the interim coach when Nick Rolovich got the gate for the vaccine
right.
situation.
But I know this.
Well, they're also down four other assistants with Rolovich.
I know. I'm just telling you, college athletics, like I said earlier, we really need to take a step back and go, hey, really, is this the way it's going to be?
Yeah.
Because it's just completely out of control. It is totally out of control.
Yeah.
But that game, you give me TVD, I don't care who we're playing.
There you go.
Because he's going to spin it in
El
Paso.
I'm with you on that one. All right, here is our Subway Monday. Top five most intriguing bowl matchups. I like when we do the Subway Top 5 on Mondays. I'm kind of... All right, here's number five. Clemson, Iowa State, Cheez-It game.
I told you, if you like defense, this is your kind of game. Right? I mean, these two teams are really, really
Brees Hall's
good.
A handful now. Brees Hall is a handful.
Yeah. Well, so is Clemson's defense.
Well, we're not going to – how many times you talk about a game where it's one side versus the other, and it's the other two elements that take shape, right? I mean, Clemson offense, Iowa State defense, rather than Clemson defense, Iowa State offense. We'll see. I'm with you, though. I don't think a ton of points get scored.
Nope.
All right. Number four, anytime you put Carolina and South Carolina – yeah, I said it – in the same building, things can get a little – get a little nuts.
Well, I mentioned South Carolina's lost six consecutive games to ACC teams. They've lost eight of their last nine. And the good news for South Carolina is that they won't see a tiger paw on the side of a helmet that's coming out the other side. And for Mack Brown, hey, it all started, like you said, a couple years ago. Sam Howell came out there and said, this is cool. Let's start the season and sling it all over the yard.
Right.
And I think if you're the folks at Duke's Mayonnaise, man, that from a ticket standpoint, that should be a no-brainer.
Right.
North and South Carolina playing in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Get your ticket. Let's go.
You know what? Going to be interesting. There's some old 21 and 22 discussions that get caught up around bowl time. Both these programs have a reason to want to finish 21 on the upswing for 22.
Well, North Carolina, let's be honest. North Carolina is 6-6.
That's right.
And hates life with 6-6.
Yeah.
South Carolina's 6-6, and they should think they should have a parade.
Can't wait on the swag bag.
Should have a parade in Columbia at 6-6. So, I mean, they're both 6-6, but they both feel like they're in different places.
Yeah.
That makes any sense based on the year.
Number three on our countdown, it's a rematch of the 1974 semifinals in Greensboro at the Final Four. Wait, no, it's not. It's UCLA and NC State playing football. This has got to be the first meeting ever. It has to be.
Well, if this football game is as good as that basketball game you described.
Well, we're in for a great show.
I think this is a really entertaining game. I do. UCLA got off to a great start, kind of sputtered for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure who knows what happens with Mario Cristobal. There may be all kinds of rumors with Chip Kelly. And I mean, my head's spinning with all this nonsense that's going on. But I think NC State fans, like I said earlier, if you've never made the trip to San Diego – listen to me.
Kids.
This is not a Jess Roy three-day weekend. I'm telling you, it's a real trip. This is a great road trip. San Diego is a just perfect weather, thousand things to do, great food, great shopping. You got the beach. You got football. That's a fun game. NC State, UCLA, I like it.
It is the third all-time meeting between NC State and UCLA in football.
When's the last time they played?
1960, I'm being told.
Doggone it.
By the Lumberjacks.
Missed it. Wasn't here for it.
Really? You could have gotten me on that. Surprised? I am.
I wasn't on the planet Earth in 1960.
Neither was I, Coach.
So I would have no idea.
Number two, the Riley Skinner Gator Bowl.
Invitational.
Texas A&M and Wake Forest.
Seriously, how many tickets do you think Riley Skinner requested?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to get him on the air and ask
when
him.
When he heard the Swiss are coming to his backyard.
It's a suite.
Sweet. How about an upper deck? Seriously, Riley Skinner could have thousands of tickets for that game. Don't you think?
He could.
Gator Bowl, it's a big old house now. You've been down there.
Oh, yeah. I was just there a couple weeks ago.
I was going to say, Falcons.
Trevor Lawrence Stadium at TIA Bank Field. There you
go. Riley Skinner, man. He's going to throw a bash for that deal now. Don't you know it.
It'll be a big party. Pablo Creek. Probably have everybody out at Pablo Creek day before a little golf, don't you think?
I wouldn't mind going down there seeing that thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Just saying.
You don't necessarily go to bowl games, but you'd like to go that one?
I go to bowl games, but I'm normally working them.
Yeah.
I don't normally go to partake anymore.
You know, work it out to get you, you know, go in a working fashion?
Well, I mean, I'm normally
games on
working.
ESPN. Maybe you could do, you know, some sort of.
I got a pen, but that's about all I got.
Okay. All right. Number one on our Subway Top 5 Bowl matchups, the ACC champ goes to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Pittsburgh and Michigan State, December 30th on ESPN.
He is going to throw the football on Michigan State. Oh, I'm telling you, Kenny Pickett had to see that and go, man, pinch me, right? We just won the ACC championship.
Yeah.
I got a chance to maybe go to New York City, be part of the Heisman deal.
No.
And for an encore, I get to play Michigan State in that secondary?
Michigan.
Are you kidding me? Kenny Pickett is living the life, man.
And Pittsburgh defense will be trying to stop Kenneth Walker, who's had a great year.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Kenneth
Walker's a big-time player. I mean, listen, Michigan State's
Pat
a good
Narduzzi
team.
Pat Narduzzi plays his old school.
That's what I like about it.
There you go.
Dudes will be fired up to see his old buddies.
Lots of nuggets for the media. Paul Zeiss, our buddy, gets a lot of Chick-fil-A nuggets, sandwiches. That's a win.
If you're Pittsburgh, and I tell you what, I would much rather have played Sparty than see Notre Dame again.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No question.
I think it worked out great for Pittsburgh. I really do.
Mel Tucker going to rush 2, drop 9.
You still can't stop Kenny Pickett with the 9 he's dropping.
Oh, man. Speaking of
I think they got dudes slower than me in their secondary. Did you watch the Ohio State game?
Yes, I did.
God. Kenny Pickett's got to be watching tape this morning going, what? I mean, Coach, just sling it 75 times.
Kenny taking a day off today.
I don't know, man. It's not his style. You don't get great taking days off.
Yeah.
Just telling you.
You're jealous of that hair the other night when you saw him.
I'm jealous of nobody's hair. I'm ready for all mine to come out. I'm not worried about anybody's hair.
All right, on the other side, our appreciation of number 8. You think about it. It's a really, really good story. We chronicled it all year long. But at the end of the day, the reward and the visit to New York seems appropriate for Kenny Pickett. Next.
Packer and Durham is presented by the Eat Fresh Refresh at Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, we got another Friday night of ACC basketball for you. We got a doubleheader, Elisa Cunane and number 2 NC State. They're in Pittsburgh to meet Lance White and the Panthers at 6 o'clock Eastern. And then off to the KFC Yum Center, 8 o'clock start Friday night. Louisville hosts the Blue Demons of DePaul. Both games right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. There you go.
DePaul, huh?
Blue Demons. Mark Aguirre, Clyde Bradshaw.
That is old.
Dave Corzine.
Coach Meyer.
Rosemont Horizon.
You ever been in that place? What a dump. Wow, was that a dump. First time I ever walked in that
place. Did
you
go there for the Virginia-Notre Dame game as a kid?
No, but I've been there multiple times.
It's not a good building.
Dump.
They've actually renovated it, I've been told.
Well, they need to fumigate it and then destroy it. That's what they need to do.
Pac, you can't say that.
I just did.
I know you did, but you can't.
It's a dump. Sorry.
I think it's gotten a little better.
It's like Dodger Stadium with a lid on it.
Okay, there we go. Thanks. Welcome back to the show, kids. Mondays is presented by Subway here on the ACC Network. I'm not going to ask you to put Kenny Pickett in the pantheon of ACC quarterbacks, okay?
Good.
I mean, like the big pantheon, not the year-to-year pantheon. But there's no doubt that he had as good a season. Now, is it Chris Winkie, Jameis Winston, you know, Heisman Trophy numbers? I don't know if it's those type numbers, but it's as good as anybody playing college football. Now, Bryce Young may win the Heisman Trophy Saturday night at Alabama. C.J. Stroud's also going to be a candidate. But when you put Kenny Pickett's numbers up with those two guys, there's not a lot of difference back.
Well, that's why he's in the conversation of getting to New York City, and rightfully so. The difference is that when you play for Alabama and Ohio State, you get a head start with the media hype before you ever get started. Pitt had to go earn it.
Right.
Right?
No question.
And, you know, when Pitt went on the road and beat Tennessee, there started to be a little, And then the next week they laid an egg.
Right.
And it was just like back burner. And then Pitt gained momentum again, and then there's the Miami game. It was like, back burner. But there's no doubt Kenny Pickett's story is fantastic because, you know, we told him this on the air. I said it to him again Friday night when I bumped into him. I said, man, you made a smart business decision. He bet on himself.
Yep.
He came back and said, you know what? I enjoy college football. I can get better, work on my skills. And then he had a great year. Pitt had a great year. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Everything that comes his way, he's earned it. He deserves it. And, man, can he play.
Single season record for touchdown passes in the ACC with 42. Set a Pitt career record for touchdown passes with 81. And he's the ACC player of the year. But how does he stack up in the numbers? Well, look at this. There's Bryce Young, there's C.J. Stroud, and there's Kenny Pickett. Three more yards of passing from Bryce Young. One more touchdown, three less interceptions. The C.J. Stroud situation, that's not even close, Pac.
Well, keep in mind, too, Stroud didn't play all the games because he got injured, and I'm not coming up with any excuses. All three of those guys right there are dudes.
Right.
Every one of them. And if that happens to be your list, going to New York City, hey, you know what? They've earned it, like I said. But Kenny Pickett's been terrific. And, again, what he represents in this day and age of everybody wanting to leave early, let me go get my money.
Right.
Let me go to the National Football League. Let me go to the NBA. Let me go to Major League Baseball. I respect a guy that said, you know what? College life's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get my degree. Life is good. Let's get better. Work on my skills. And he has.
All right. Let's compare him to the last five quarterbacks to win the Heisman Trophy, too, because – if you're looking at Marcus Mariota, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow, here's kind of where he stands. Completion percentage, fifth. Passing yards, third. Touchdowns, second. QBR, he would be sixth. So, you know, that's the neighborhood you want to live in. There's nothing over the top. Again, I'm not sure he's going to win it, but I think the visit is more than appropriate for the campaign that Kenny Pickett's had.
Well, here's the other thing, too, when it comes down. And a lot of this is a popularity contest. It's also a situation, though, that you got to have that Heisman moment,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to play in a game in which everybody's watching that, guess what? You stepped up and took it to another level.
That's right.
Not exactly sure Kenny had that moment this year, just given the fact that Pitt, you know, just cracked the top 15 and so forth with some of the other things. And you start talking about Stroud at Ohio State.
Right.
And of course, Bryce Young in Alabama. Been living in the top five world, top 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Pitt's not been there yet. So from that perspective, Kenny's playing uphill a little bit. But as far as the pure numbers and what have you delivered, I mean, we just went through the last 5 minutes putting all these things on the screen. The guy deserves to be in New York City.
Yeah, and play good competition too. So there you go. Congratulations to Kenny Pickett. I'm excited for him to have that moment this weekend.
I hope the Carolina Panthers are paying attention. They can use a quarterback.
Yeah. Here is Kenny, by the way, talking about the the trophy they hand out on Saturday night in New York City?
Yeah, it's a special thing. It hasn't been done here in a long time. So, it's, you know, to have your name, you know, being next to that award and talks of you going to New York City and that being close to home, it's special. It's a team award. I think, I've improved, yes, but you look at this team, we've improved so much. I'm so grateful for every single guy in that room and the hard work that we all put in together. So I think it speaks for everybody.
Look, I'm not going to tell you I bat 1,000 on this. In fact, there are times when I think there are guys who are really good at the collegiate level and it's going to transfer to the next level. But he does all the right things right now in terms of the process, his performance level, and things like that. But the fact that he also, and when somebody asks him about an individual award, speaks to the value of the team and the quality of the team.
Always.
There are a lot of clubs in the National Football League that want to be a part of that concept.
Yep. No, he's the guy that you want on your team.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
And from a leadership standpoint, he's smart. And when you watch him play, Wes, mm-hmm. whether it's on television, you get a chance to see him in person.
Right.
He just looks like he's having a good time playing. Yeah. And he just looks like, hey, that's the kid and all of us out there just slinging it with your buddies.
Yeah.
And the game looks like it's slowed down so much for him. And yeah. even Saturday night when he takes off for the run, with it beating you with his legs, forget the arm, you just realize this guy's the total package.
Yeah. A lot of credit to Kenny for his investment in this, but also I'll tell you this too, he talks about his teammates. We've talked about Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator. It's got to be a proud moment for him too, Pac. I mean, to see guy develop and flourish in a last chapter type scenario.
Well, like I said, it's kind of the perfect snapshot of what you want it to be, right?
Yeah.
Kid comes in, got to go work, nobody's going to hand you anything, tough town.
Yep.
You know, and that's just all part of it. And Kenny's rolled up his sleeves. And like I said, he could have left a year ago mm-hmm. and said, no, there's some unfinished business. I can even get better. And you know what? I enjoy the college experience. What's wrong with that? I mean, yeah. all of us look back and go, man, it was 4 years in college or for some 6-7 years in college. Best days of my life. Mm-hmm. So enjoy it while you can. Yeah. And now he'll take it to another level and make it a business deal. So good for him. He's been a cool dude to cover. We've had a chance to know him through the show.
Yep.
And he's an easy, easy guy to root for.
Yep. So our congratulations to Kenny Pickett. On the other side, David Hale and the latest news on all the stuff going on. ADs, coaches, searches, bowls, portal. Anything else we can think of to ask Hale? We'll do it next. Halfway Home on a Monday, presented by Subway. It's Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday morning after another championship weekend. Crazy week of storylines with coaches and athletic directors, players. Transfer portal. We got bowls. We got hoops. We got best and worst of the weekend coming up. Maybe a little wide receiver U combination from the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm just sitting here checking the Twitter to make sure we're not missing anything.
Well, I mean, it's hard to keep up with it all. And I'm just about our league.
No kidding. I mean, that's what I mean.
ADs and with the Miami situation, is Tony Elliott going to land at Virginia or Duke or right. neither? I mean, who knows what's going
to
happen?
All right. David Hale set to join us from ESPN.com. I don't know how much sleep you've gotten in the last three nights. The ball game ran late Saturday night. I don't know where you want to start on this. I'll let you pick. Just pick one of these and we'll go. How's that?
All right. Well, I got two toddlers, so I don't sleep much anyway. But how about Brent Venables? You want to start there? I think that's a good one. At least we know what's going on there.
Well, he got off the plane in Norman, Oklahoma, and look, I'll tell you guys this real quick. I talked to our friend Grace Rayner of The Athletic last night, and I said, is Brent Venables going to be the first head football coach at a Power Five school in this century to have a get back coach, Hale? That's my next question. How's that? Let's start there.
I have to believe that get back coach is written into this contract that Brent would not have made the leap, ironically, would not have made the jump to Oklahoma without his get back coach. Yeah, I hope that's the case because, but you know what? This is, I think we joke about the Get Back coach and it is funny, but it underscores what is so wonderful about Brent Venables and why I think he'll be successful there. And look, I'm not into predicting success for coaches because there are hundreds of things that are out of their orbit that can sink a coaching situation that they have no control over. But Brent Venables loves college football more than any human being I have ever met in my entire life. He exudes passion for this sport. And there's nobody who's going to want it more. There's nobody who is going to work harder or be better prepared. And there is nobody who, from film session to game day, is more invested in the success of his guys than Brent Venables is. And the Get Back coach is sort of just the symbolic nature of all of that, where he's so into it, you got to have somebody that can hold him back a little bit.
David, you know, I mentioned this earlier. Dabo and Venables, great 1-2 combination, just like Beamer, Bud Foster, Mickey Andrews, Bobby Bowden. That special collection of great head coaches always surrounding yourselves with really, really talented assistants. All right, so we know Venables is going to Oklahoma. Happy for him. It's a great opportunity. So, all right, tag, you're it, Dabo. Well, what are we doing? We go in-house? Do we go out? What do you think Dabo is going to do here?
This is so fascinating for me in a lot of ways because this sort of is indicative or symbolic of some of the big things we have been asking about Dabo this year. And let me preface this by saying 9-3, a chance to get the 10 wins again in a bowl game, playing Georgia close, going to double overtime, all your with NC State, your losses were all the ranked teams. There's no shame in the season that Clemson had, but we have been forced to ask questions because they haven't looked like the Clemson we're used to. And so we've talked about the transfer portal. We've talked about does he make changes on his coaching staff in some areas? And I think what you're asking here is very symbolic of that too. And how much are you staying with what has Clemson always been and done well and effectively since they hired Brent Venables in 2012 for the 2012 season? Every hire since then has been some version of in-house, whether it is a Clemson guy, whether it was promoting from within or hiring somebody that was already tight with Dabo from his Bama days, former teammates, stuff like that. It is a very, very close relationship Dabo has with everyone that he has hired, right down to CJ Spiller last year. So I think you're really, on one hand, you're asking, well, who's going to be the defensive coordinator? Because in a practical standpoint, that's super important. But in a lot of ways, this is saying, how much is Dabo willing to alter his philosophy based on what the last year has wrought at Clemson? And it trickles down to almost everything that they're doing, from the transfer portal, which he has talked about way more than he wants to talk about, up to a massive decision of who replaces Brent Venables and, of course, possibly Tony Elliott on the other side if the coaching carousel continues to stay wild.
All right, let's pivot to Tony Elliott. Reports he interviewed with Duke yesterday. There's another source saying that Virginia's on deck today. I mean, you're looking at another 24, 48 hours. Chris Lowe said it was Duke. There are other reports talking about Virginia. I think Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated has that out this morning. So those scenarios facing Tony Elliott, you think he's gone as well?
I think that Tony sort of feels the itch to make it happen. A little bit of this is that he has been extraordinarily patient over the years, and I don't think necessarily that has rewarded him. I think he's probably missed out on a couple of opportunities that if he had gone after them a little bit harder, he might have had. And then, of course, you're entering this coaching cycle off what has historically been the worst Clemson offense in quite a while. And again, hard to pin a lot of that on Tony. And I also think, you know, calling X's and O's from an offensive coordinator standpoint does not necessarily translate to a head coaching job. And I've thought from day one, Tony will make an excellent head football coach somewhere. Obviously, you'd rather probably be walking into the Virginia situation. There is a lot more to work with there. The way that offense is set up, there's a ton of playmakers. It's a team that's going bowling now. It's a team that was not far off from winning a bunch more games. That's a better situation. And there's a lot of investment and foundation that needs to be built at Virginia, too. Duke is a whole other ballgame, and we've seen that when David Cutcliffe got there. It was a mess. He is leaving it in definitively better shape, but record-wise, not great. And there's a lot of infusion of talent that needs to happen there. I think if you're Duke, you sort of look at Wake Forest and what Dave Clawson has done there and how that's been built. And you say, all right, well, we can follow a similar template, a similar blueprint. And I do think that Tony Elliott is the type of coach to execute a blueprint like that. Invest in what makes Duke unique and special and build around that. Don't try to be somebody else. Try to be the best version of Duke. I think Tony Elliott is a guy who can do that really well.
All right, David, let's go with the Tiger trifecta. We've done offense, defense. Let's go athletic director. Dan Radakovich, do you think he goes to Miami?
You know, so much of what's happening at Miami, I think, comes down to a value judgment, both for Mario Cristobal, for Dan Radakovich, of is Miami a three-ring circus, a two-ring circus, a one-ring circus? How much of a circus is Miami right now? Because I don't think anybody wants to walk into an unwinnable situation. And certainly some of the reports out of Miami throughout all of this have been not great. And it's certainly weird to be having all of these conversations when there is still a head coach employed there. And I think everyone looks at that and says it's a little bit off too. So it's sort of a question of, is this a place that I can go into and I can sort of herd the cats and get everything back on the same page that it needs to be on for us to be successful? Or is it sort of a bridge too far? And I think this is right now about Miami being able to put its best foot forward and make a sales pitch to both of those guys and say, this is a situation that if you are here, we can fix all of the problems that we have. You're the linchpin to this. And I tend to lean that if that sales pitch works, that Dan Radakovich is eager to go, and I think it's probably a good move for him in a lot of ways. He's a builder. He is probably ready to move on to a place where he can sort of rebuild again. The job is done largely at Clemson, and I think he's ready to hand that off. So it makes some sense for Dan Radakovich. I think the biggest thing for both of those guys, though, is I don't want to walk into a situation where my back's against the wall from day one.
Yeah, and I think the Cristobal decision, David, you subscribe to the stuff that's been reported. We find out today at some point whether Cristobal is the guy or not. Is that the way this works?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of been imposed by everyone at this point. They can't leave Manny hanging out to dry at Miami for too much longer here. What's happening there is really not fair to him. I think Miami needs to understand that, like, you know, we're either pulling this fish on board or we got to start fishing in another lake. And I think even at Oregon, boy, you let this hang out there for too long with that contract sitting in front of you. Even if you want to stay, you're burning some bridges every hour that you haven't put your name on that contract. It's time for everybody to make a decision. I don't think anybody wants it to last any longer than this. My guess is that by the end of today, we'll hear something more definitive one way or the other.
David, for argument's sake, if Mario Cristobal doesn't take the gig, what do you do if you're Manny Diaz? I mean, this, and you said unfair. That's not even being fair,
right,
to call it unfair. He is the head football coach. You know, it'd be one thing, hey, the guy went 3-9 for the fifth straight year, and you're like, hey, we just can't win. I thought Manny Diaz and his staff and that team did a heck of a job in the second half of the season. That thing could have gone south in a millisecond, but I thought Manny and his staff did just a great job turning that thing around. When it, like I said, you're 2-4, and you had NC State and a road trip to Pittsburgh ahead, and they figured out a way to salvage it.
I have been saying this all along, and the Miami fans think I'm a Manny apologist. I just think you don't. It's been 3 years. One of those years was a COVID year. One of those years, the first one, he inherited a team that had absolutely gone off the rails at the end of that season. So in a lot of ways, and then he loses his starting quarterback this year. In a lot of ways, Manny is not flawless. He has certainly made some mistakes throughout his tenure. I think anybody would look at the first offensive coordinator hire and say, that didn't go well. You look at the defense this year and say it was not the most disciplined unit. The tackling was problematic. A lot of those things come back to Manny. But there's sort of two ways to look at it. Do you invest in a guy that you believe in, that the team likes, and say, he'll learn from mistakes and get better? And that's been my argument with Manny, is I think you can do that. Miami clearly wants to aim big, and I understand that. There's 20 years of pent-up frustration there, so I get that too. But at the end of the day, you've got a guy who has given 6 years now to Miami and trying to make that program great, whether you love him or not, whether he made mistakes or not. Manny has given 6 years of his life to that program, and I think hanging him out to dry like this is a really ugly situation, frankly. And it makes it hard, because if Mario does say no, and you want to say, all right, Manny, well, we kept you here just in case. It's sort of like saying to your wife, like, well, we might get divorced. I'm going to see if there's anything better out there. If not, I'll be back to you. How do you go on from that? That's a very tough relationship to move on from. But I think one of the big keys to all of this is the players clearly are behind Manny. You don't finish the way that you finished there at Miami under all of those circumstances if the players aren't behind their coach and bought in. But it certainly puts him behind the eight ball, because if he sticks around, you got to go hire an OC right now. And any OC in America is going to be saying, wait a minute, is this coaching staff still going to be here next year? Do we got to win 11 games to keep our jobs? All of these things are sort of the situation that you've wrought if Mario Cristobal says no.
Well, and exactly. In terms of the coaching ad, look at what happened with Georgia Tech. You get Chip Long, who was at Tulane, to come be the OC for Jeff Collins yesterday. We don't know the terms of the contract, things of that nature, but nonetheless, it's not an easy situation. All right, I want to get to Kenny Pickett in just a second, because it looks like he's going to get the New York run, which he richly deserves. Vince Tyree from Louisville to Florida State. I know there was a report in the Courier Journal, I think, that Tyree's contract is expiring here at some point, but now David Coburn's retiring, all sorts of things. Mike Alford was perceived to be the new AD who came from Central Michigan to be president of Seminole Boosters. And now Vince Tyree is coming in, or at least is targeted as the new AD at Florida State.
Yeah, my understanding is that is just waiting for a signature on the bottom line. I think it will happen. Honestly, I think it's probably a good move for all parties considered, but particularly for Florida State. And this is not a knock against anybody who was there before. And I think David Coburn in particular did a really nice job writing a listing ship there. There was a lot of relationships that needed to be mended after the Jimbo Fisher, Stan Wilcox era.
Right.
But Florida State, going back to Dave Hart in, 2008, that's the last time they had a genuinely strong, hands-on, empowered athletics director.
Right.
And to me, a lot of what has been wrong at Florida State over the last 5, 6, 7 years has been the fact that there's either 3 guys in charge, 5 guys in charge, or nobody in charge. And I think having a strong, powerful figure, which I think Vince can be there, that everybody respects and understands that the buck stops at that desk, I think that's a critical component to getting Florida State back to where they want to be. So to me, this is a home run hire if you're Florida State. Given some of the situations at Louisville, I'm not entirely surprised that he's interested in making this move. And of course, it's a little like Dan Radakovich at Miami. You say, well, boy, those programs aren't in great shape right now. Yeah, but if you're the guy who gets to say, I got Miami back, I got Florida State back, that's got some cachet to it. And I think for guys who have had success before, you look at that and you say, I can be that guy. And that's not just a resume builder. That's a legacy.
David, do you think we're just going through this crazy perfect storm between coming after COVID, transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, the crazy dollars that you're watching, star coaches go from one big-time program to another and the trickle-down? Is it just one of these one-time crazy world that we're living in, or do you think this is going to become the norm for years and years to come?
Well, first off, my promise to myself was I was going to start eating healthier and working out as soon as the news cycle slowed down. So I'm fine with this. Let's just keep it this way. I'm good with that. I think it's unlikely to remain quite at this pace, because I think there's a little bit of there was a lot of pressure on the dam during COVID and nothing really happened, particularly in the ACC last year. But the dam came down this year and all of that pressure that had built up is outgoing now. So I think there's a little bit of that. But we're at a different time. And look, the news cycle of the world has changed. And I think that's certainly true of college football. And we're in a time of it's a little bit of an in-between time, right? I mean, we have NIL, but we don't really know what NIL is yet. We have the one-time transfers and transfer portal, but we really don't know exactly. Everybody's sort of fine-tuning where these things go. And of course, you add in the money, and I think there are certainly people who think maybe 10 years from now, some of this money might be going to players. Let's lock up good coaches now. And we have huge TV deals. We've got three leagues that have grant of rights and TV deals coming up in the next couple of years. So everybody's sort of budgeting around what they think their budgets are going to be in 2025, and they're spending that money today. It is, as you said, a perfect storm. And I do wonder, you look at the playoff this year, and of course you've got Nick Saban, who's always there, but you look at Michigan, and that's a team that is built on Jim Harbaugh sticking around when everybody wanted him gone. Or you look at Cincinnati, and Luke Fickle had opportunities to leave because he's a tremendous coach and a hot name at a program that people thought was a stepping stone job, but he didn't, he stayed. And even Kirby Smart at Georgia, you know, he has weathered some storms to stay there. Those are programs that are having success because they built a foundation that they believed in and stuck with it and kept their guys together. And it's impossible to do that forever. Things will continue to change. But I think some of the lessons of the four teams that are in the playoff right now is that change ain't always good. Change is just different.
There you go. Quick word, Kenny Pickett to New York. You satisfied?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. He was on my ballot somewhere. I won't say where. I hope he's strongly considered by all of the voters who voted. It is hard for me to say that any quarterback outside of Bryce Young had a better year than Kenny Pickett did this year. And Pickett was probably more consistent start to finish than Bryce Young was. Bryce just had the Heisman moment. So however you want to weigh that, I that's the beauty of this award is everybody gets to define it for themselves. But what a tremendous year from Kenny. And I will say, I hope a good sort of precursor to how players will view coming back for another year down the road. Kenny made a lot of money, won a lot of games, and I think it's been just a tremendous season to watch for him.
Well said, David. Thank you as always. Keep us up to date. We'll break in when you break out, as they say. When news breaks out, we break in.
I'll be checking my phone regularly.
David Hale, ESPN.com. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the kind work and your visit here this morning. So, Kenny Pickett, I will concur and agree with David. He is on my ballot. I will say that.
Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know that.
I'd hate for those Heisman Trust people to come down here and be upset at you. That'd be too.
I might get
terrible.
A letter. I don't necessarily want a letter, but I'm double just saying secret probation. He's somewhere on the ballot. When we continue, special edition of Wide Receiver U, Championship Edition. You excited about this? We just have four nominees. That's where we are. Four nominees.
Condensed version.
Yeah, we didn't go through the long list. We only had the one game. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Jess Roy is back at it again.
You know
3-day weekend.
You know it.
She's traveling to ACC towns, letting you know where to go, where to eat, what to do, and she'll have even more special hidden places to explore. Tomorrow night, Clemson, South Carolina, 7 Eastern, right here on ACCN and the ESPN app.
Tell you what, she better get that right.
One app, one tap.
She better get that one right.
There'll be a lot of scrutiny tomorrow night.
If it's
7:30.
If Jess lays an egg on that one, she is going to have to pay me Wednesday. If she doesn't go to the right places, I am going to be all over that.
Pig. Got to go to the Smoking Pig?
I'm not saying it. I'm going to watch it.
Max?
I'm holding back any comments until I see what she determines a 3-day weekend in Clemson.
A lot of pressure.
She can tell me about lobster sandwiches and all that stuff up there in her town of Baston, but you better get the Clemson one right on this show. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Don't you dare mess that one up. You can go down the river at Pittsburgh and not know what stadium the Panthers play in, but you better get it right when it comes to Clemson. Said that right now.
What would qualify messing up?
Well, I'm gonna watch that show.
No, let's just throw me one thing that would be.
I'm not tipping my hand until I see the show.
Okay.
There's certain things you must do. Is my point. This would be true for Clemson, Blacksburg, Boston,
Chapel Hill, Atlanta,
Charlottesville,
Atlanta.
There are certain things you must do. And if there's a whiff, I gotta be honest with you. You got to do your homework doing those shows. Got to do your homework. I
haven't seen Atlanta yet, by the way, or Tallahassee. Got to be careful in Atlanta now. Walk into the wrong place. They don't have the old gold and white in Atlanta. Sometimes you get in there and it's
gotta
red and
know
black.
Know your audience is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, there you go. That's
you
right.
Know your audience.
All right. So we look forward to that. All right. Real quick. We got a limited wide receiver U. Just four finalists. That's all we're doing. We're not going through the nomination process. Here they are.
We're trying to make it easy on you because you always have to cut it
to four.
Dude,
I nailed last couple weeks. Nailed it. Perfect. Last week especially. Nailed it. Here are the four finalists. Let's start with Wake Forest. Wake's got one slot in this, and it's the Taylor Morin touchdown catch. Pretty good right here now.
At this point in time in the game, you're thinking, man, Wake's
MJ,
not going
Devin
away.
MJ, Devonshire, right there. No, got
Wake's
it.
Aren't going away. They're going to score 60 on these dudes.
Yep. It's a heck of a grab by Taylor Morin.
Every time I see that number 12 jersey from Pitt, I think of my man Paris Ford.
Look at the kid in the end zone. He can't believe he caught it. Look at him.
Oh, my God.
Dude, come get me with the high fives. Nope, denied. All right. Meanwhile, security helping right there, staff. All right, Jordan Addison in the third quarter. He makes the list of the four for our championship edition of wide receiver U. 8 for 126, and that.
Wasn't the one I was thinking. That's all right. He made a twister in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. The one going to the sideline?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. You submitted this one, right? Did you submit this one?
The one I submitted.
Not this one. You submitted the twister.
The twister on the third.
The one they reviewed.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a great catch. Yeah.
All right. Eric Hallett makes the list twice.
He kept catching all Hartman's balls. That's why.
This is pretty good.
This
now.
Is a good one.
They're thinking, no, come on. It hit the ground.
Had no idea that this was an interception. They just thought, well, it's time to punt. Wrong. Wrong answer.
Yeah.
That was a great grab right there, man.
Thought this would be one of the big pieces in the ball game. Got this one right. All right. And then part two of Eric Hallett's nomination is this one. Zip. And that'll be six. And I'm going to carry it like a loaf of bread in the end zone. How about that?
I'm telling you, this game reminded me so much of the bowl game with Wake and Wisconsin a year ago.
How about the fact he picks it and immediately goes one hand? Yeah, I'll just.
Well, you immediately look back at Roberson going, you're not going to catch me.
No,
I'm taking
that,
this
that
to the
not
house.
Happening. All right, so those are the four. You go online at ACC Network, look on the Twitter feed. The poll will be there. You pick one of the four. We'll name our championship winner tomorrow. There you go.
Last one of the year.
That's it.
Are we going to do a bowl version of this or not?
I can't imagine we wouldn't.
We got 10 teams in bowls.
I think we ought to.
Pickett's going to throw for 600 yards.
It'll be, however, again, incumbent upon you, the fan. When you see it happen, you submit it. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You can tag Mark and I, the player, the time of the game, the catch. When we come back, Packers' best of the weekend is teed up. Kenny Pickett and the dead leg. We haven't talked about it yet. Captain Canada leads BC to a big win. Oh, we got some soccer for you, too, including the Noles.
The Noles are playing for a natty.
There you go. Sit tight. Best of the weekend coming up next. Presented by Subway, it's Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.